It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18+. You are listening to M-Search Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at msearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
Let me tell you how much I've given up to follow Christ.
No, really?
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie reminds us how we've given up so little and received so much in following Christ.
That's why Paul, when he talked about his past, put it this way: everything is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting it as garbage. That's what you gave up, friend. Garbage.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Anytime you get something for nothing, it's an attractive offer. But when it comes to the gospel, God Himself offers us something of inestimable value. All we give up is a sinful past worth less than nothing, a past fraught with guilt and shame. And in return, we have freedom from guilt, freedom from anxiety, and life eternal with our Lord in heaven. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us have a clear understanding of that unbeatable offer.
So we start a new series now called Follow Me, Following Jesus in the Modern World. It really picks up where the Sermon on the Mount left off. And what we're going to do is work our way to the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to learn more about the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But before we dig into our studies in Matthew, I want to introduce you to the author of this book, Matthew, also known as Levi. He has an interesting story because he became a follower of Jesus rather quickly. And by that I mean, we don't read of any extended conversations that Christ had with Matthew, as he did with the woman at the well, or Nicodemus, or the rich young ruler. In fact, Matthew, to our knowledge, at least as Scripture would tell us, never was a witness of any great miracles of Christ. So what is it that caused him to follow? Because Jesus comes up to Matthew and says two words to him, follow me, and Matthew bolts up from his table and follows Jesus from that moment forward. No final speech, well, now I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to say a few things. Are you guys going to have a party for me? Or I have a few affairs I have to get in order. No, he just says, I'm out of here. I don't care. I'll leave everything. And he left a lot. We just read in Matthew's version of his own story, he arose and followed him. That's all he says. But in Luke's gospel, we have an important detail that Matthew left out in his gospel. Luke tells us that Matthew left all, rose up, and followed him. You see, because of his modesty, Matthew does not mention that fact in his own gospel, but Luke gives us the whole story. Matthew probably gave up more to follow Jesus than any other disciple. Oh, sure, Peter gave up some nets. Matthew gave up a lucrative career. Matthew gave up a powerful position. He gave it all up to follow Jesus. In fact, of all of the disciples, he made the greatest sacrifice of material possessions and power, yet he himself makes no mention of it. And I love that. That's a great little detail, isn't it? He could have said, oh, by the way, I gave up more than anybody else. He doesn't say that. And when we're sharing our story of how we came to Christ, let's make sure we don't say something like that. Let me tell you how much I've given up to follow Christ. You know, really? Have you really given up that much? Compared to what God gave for you, let's talk about what God gave up for you so you could follow Christ. Let's talk about the sacrifice of the Father sending His own Son to be tortured and murdered in cold blood for you and me. Let's talk about the sacrifice of the Son laying Himself there on the cross. That's why Paul, when he talked about his past, put it this way in Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting it as garbage. So I may have Christ. Garbage. That's what you gave up, friend. Garbage. Do you think a lot of me because I take my trash out at night? Well, that Greg, he made a great sacrifice. He threw his trash out. Well, that's not a sacrifice. I want to get rid of my trash. In fact, we were gone for a week, and so I had a lot of extra trash. I missed a pickup. So I took my trash out the other day, and my cans were full. The flies were partying, okay? They were like, happy days are here again, the trash. And they're just, oh man, get this out of here. I was so glad when the trash man picked it up and took it away. That's how the old life is. And when I say the old life, I don't mean old sins, and I don't mean old habits only. I mean everything, even old accomplishments, whatever. It's nothing compared to what God has given to you. Matthew forsook all and followed Him. He lost a career, but he gained a destiny. He lost material possessions, but he gained a spiritual fortune. He lost temporary security, but he gained eternal life. He lost emptiness and loneliness and found fulfillment and companionship. He gave up all the world has to offer, and he found Jesus. Okay, now let's shift gears, and let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to wrap up in the time that we have left. And look at two would-be followers. We have Matthew, the real follower. And now we have two that didn't quite get it. Look at verse 18 of Matthew 8. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came to Him and said, Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Then another of His disciples said to Him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, follow Me and let the dead bury their own dead. This first guy, he seems to get caught up in the emotion of the moment. By the way, it says he was a scribe. You read that and go, so? Oh, that's a big deal. Scribes? Remember how Jesus talked about the scribes and Pharisees? These guys were the religious elite. They were the top guns. And to have a scribe on your team, that would be significant. I mean, to have a tax collector, no great gain there. A fisherman, no, not so much. But a scribe, a man who is educated and had dedicated his life to the transcription of Scripture, that would be wonderful. So this guy in the emotion of a moment says, Lord, I'll follow You wherever You go. You would expect Jesus to say, are you kidding me, a scribe? Come on, join the team. Everybody move over. Jesus responds in an interesting way. He says, well, actually, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Hey, buddy, I don't know if you even understand what you're saying, but I'm not headed to the Jerusalem Hilton here. I'm going to die for the sin of the world. You sure? You're up for that? Is that what you want to do? A lot of people in the impulse of a moment will say, I want to be a Christian. Right now I'm going to follow Jesus. And you do need to count the cost. Because a lot of times we act on impulse. That's why they offer you credit cards for free. Especially when you're young. And you're just out of high school. Free credit card. Oh, well, look at this. They're so generous. Did you read the fine print? Because you see, they have all these little extra things put in there. Like if you are 1 hour late on your payment, your interest rate goes from 9% to 49%. And you know, they have all these things built in, so you will immediately be in debt. So on the impulse, oh, I'm going to get this card. I'm going to activate it. Charge up stuff. Yeah, that's what they want you to do. Or when you're at the market and you're checking out and you start grabbing those things there by the register. Why do you think they put those things there? Because they know people will make impulse buys. And in the same way, there are impulse commitments to Jesus Christ, but Jesus reminds us that we are to count the cost as we follow Him. Number two, the second guy seems to have his relationships out of whack. Verse 21, another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. And when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Now, if you don't understand the culture of the time, this can seem kind of heartless on the part of Christ. Here's this guy. Lord, my dad just died. I need to make some funeral arrangements and be kind of nice if you give me a little extra. Yeah, let the dead bury themselves. Let's get out of here. Well, that's not at all what happened. That man was using an expression, an idiom of the day. Let me first go bury my father. And the expression simply meant, let me wait until my father gets older and eventually dies. And when it's more convenient, then I'll follow you. I can't do it now. I'll do it later. And there are people today that will say, well, I would like to follow Christ, but I'm concerned about how it would affect people around me. You know, how would it affect my family? Greg, what do you think my wife would say if I were to go home today and say, I'm going to now be a follower of Jesus, or my husband, or my parents, or my friends, or my coworkers? Are you kidding? If I were to say that, they'd laugh at me. If I were to do that, there would be friction in my home. Why, yes, there will be. But Jesus said, don't think that I've come to bring peace on earth, but rather, I tell you, division. A man will be divided from the members of his own family. We think sometimes, you know, just peace and harmony is all we need. Man, let's just coexist in love and peace and peace. No. Sometimes that can be bad. Unity is not always good. Truth is more important than unity. Because we can be unified around the wrong thing, okay? I'm not advocating disunity and chaos. I'm simply saying sometimes before you can find the ultimate unity, you have to have a little conflict. Let me illustrate. So you go home and say, I'm a Christian. Well, you're going to shake everything up, and there's going to be tension, and there's going to be argument, and there's going to be people that don't like it. But that's a good thing, you see, because that can be the conviction of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the hardest people to reach with the gospel are members of your own family. They're not the easiest, they're the hardest. Now, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Even Jesus' own siblings did not believe in him until his death and resurrection. And who, I ask you, was a better example than Jesus Christ? But as you live the life, and let me just add this, yes, it's good to preach sermons, but, you know, there comes a point where enough preaching already. Just start living it. Because sometimes we're like preaching, the sermon. Shut up and live it. Let your actions speak. You've told them what you believe. You've explained what Jesus said. You've told them how to believe in Him. Now you show how Christ can change a life through the way that you live. That's how you reach a member of your own family or a person that you have an ongoing relationship with. And some come around more quickly than others do. But the point is that don't let that potential conflict keep you away from God. Because here's your choice in life. You're going to have harmony with God and conflict with people, or conflict with God and harmony with people. If you want to get along with everyone, it's going to effectively alienate God, because that means that you're making compromises. But if you want to get along with God and do what He wants and stay in step with Him, it is going to offend some people. Not because you're being obnoxious or mean, just because there are certain people that don't like what God says. And if you do what God says, they won't like you. So you just love those people and pray. And don't let that keep you from following the Lord. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. So, in conclusion, are we really followers of Jesus? What is a follower of Christ? Number one, a follower of Jesus follows Him each and every day. Remember, I pointed out, it's not only starting something, it's finishing it. And we're commanded to do so, but also to walk with Him in friendship. Number two, the follower of Jesus cannot say goodbye to the old life fast enough. Matthew bolted up from that tax table and left everything to follow Christ. Old sins and vices that slow us down are gladly forsaken to keep in step with Jesus. And let me say this to you. Whatever you give up to follow Jesus will be replaced by something far better. So people will say, well, I've given these things up. I gave up a friendship. I broke off a relationship with my boyfriend. Or I gave up this career. I gave up this life. Yeah, whatever you gave up, God's going to make it up to you, okay? In this life and in the life to come. Especially in the life to come. Number three, the true believer cares about non-believers and wants to reach them. The true believer, the true follower, cares about non-believers and wants to reach them. That's what Matthew did. Immediately after his conversion, he wanted to reach out to his friends. And I ask you, do you think about your friends? Do you pray about them? Do you care about them coming to faith? Number four, the follower of Jesus Christ loves him more than anyone or anything else. Even if it means the severance of a relationship, God is number one in their life. Follow me. That's what Jesus said. Matthew did it and never regretted it. Let me close with this illustration. There was another man that came to Jesus and had a fairly extended conversation with the Lord in contrast to Matthew. We know him as the rich young ruler. Now, to be a ruler in those days meant you had to be at least 30, but yet it says he was young. So he was in his early 30s. He was a successful guy. And he came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus gave him some of the commandments that he was to keep. And that young man said, "All of these commandments I've kept from my youth up." And Jesus said, "Okay, buddy, I'll tell you what you need to do." Loose paraphrase. Take all of your stuff, sell it, give the money to the poor, and come follow me. Now, some people look at that verse and say that is what every person is required to do to be a Christian, but that's not true. Because this is the only man Jesus ever said that to. And the reason he said that to the rich young ruler is because money was the god of his life, and Jesus saw that if he was going to follow him, he was going to have to let go of that stuff. Now, to this other guy that says to him, "Let me first bury my father," Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead." So in contrast to the rich young ruler, that other guy was held back by relationships. See, it can vary from person to person. To one person, he might say, "You need to break off that relationship. That's dragging you down spiritually." To another one, he might say, "You need to get rid of all that stuff." To another one, he might say, "You need to make this change in your life." It all depends on the individual, but here's the point. After he was told what to do from God himself, we read the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had many riches. He couldn't let it go. He had the chance and he went away. Matthew had the chance and he went forward. Jesus says to you right now, follow me. Is there something holding you back? "Well, if I become a Christian, my friends would laugh at me." Yeah, they probably will. "Well, if I become a Christian, it'll mean tension in my home." Yeah, I'm sure it will. "Well, if I become a Christian, yeah, it's going to mean all that." Well, do you want to follow him or not? No one's bending your arm. It's a privilege. You don't want to, don't do it. Go home or follow. It's your choice. And maybe another person would say, "Well, I would like to follow Jesus, but I have these other issues that I can't let go of these things." I know just whatever you give up to follow him will be replaced by something far better. Now I ask you in closing, are you following Jesus? And if not, would you like to start? If you've never asked for his forgiveness, he'll give it to you today. Because here's the bottom line. All this stuff we give up or relationships we change or whatever alterations happen in life, nothing compares to what God gives us instead. And the most important thing will not even be realized in this life, but only in the life to come. When we get to heaven and we realize all this from God because I believed in him. And then not only heaven, but we have a life that's meaningful and purposeful. And even in life on earth, those things are made up to us too. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, why don't you do it now as we close with prayer? Everybody bowing their head with me for a moment, if you would. And Father, I pray for any person here now, listening, watching, who does not yet know you, who has not yet started to follow you. Lord, would you help them to begin today? Help them, Lord, receive the forgiveness you offer. Because you died, you rose, and you're ready to forgive if they will come to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment or two, so please do stay with us. But before he does, if you'd like to preserve this insight in Pastor Greg's message called Follow Me, let us make arrangements to send you the full message on CD. Call us at 1-800-821-3300, and we'll be glad to help you. Again, the number 1-800-821-3300. Or order online at harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you have a new book that follows up on what we're discussing. It's called Following Jesus in the Modern World.
Right.
Let's talk about that word following.
Okay.
Is it more challenging to be a follower of Christ today than it was when Jesus walked among us?
I would say maybe there's some confusion as to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For instance, if you have a Facebook page, you have what they call friends. But if you have a Twitter account, you have followers. So someone might say, I follow you on Twitter, which means they read your tweets. And so maybe they think that's what it means to be a follower. You just read a person's tweets. You have some contact with them. But when Jesus said, follow me, to Matthew, the tax collector, 2,000 years ago, he wasn't just saying, hey, Matthew, follow my tweets or be remotely aware of what I'm doing and saying. No, when Jesus said, follow me, he was asking for far more. In fact, the phrase follow me could be translated to walk the same road. And that's also in the original language in the imperative mode. It's not just an invitation, rather it's a command. So effectively, Jesus was saying to Matthew, I command you to follow me each and every day. So here's the question. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Most of us would quickly say yes. We'd say, hey, I'm listening to a Christian radio program, right? Yes, that's true, and we're glad you are. But maybe you don't fully understand what it means to follow Jesus in the modern world. So I've written a brand new book based on the Gospel of Matthew, and the title of it is Following Jesus in the Modern World. We follow Christ from his birth in Bethlehem to his miracle, to his life, his ministry, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. It's chock full of information on how to be an effective follower of Jesus in the 21st century.
All right. Well, we want to send a copy of this to you just as soon as possible. We're making it available to say thank you for your contribution in support of the work we do here at Harvest Crusades and A New Beginning. You know, we're here every day with these studies in God's Word. Would you consider helping us on a regular basis? We call those close friends Harvest Partners, and we have some special ways to show our appreciation. You can get the details online at harvest.org. Just click on the words Harvest Partner. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. And our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And then before we go any further, Pastor Greg wants to help you make a change in your relationship with the Lord.
Listen, if you would like Jesus Christ to come into your life right now, if you would like your sin forgiven, if you would like a new start in life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you would ask for God's forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you to just stop what you're doing right now and bow your head and pray this prayer with me if you want to make a commitment or recommitment to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and I thank you for dying on that cross for my sin and paying the price for it and rising again from the dead. I turn from that sin now, and I make a choice to follow you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for calling me and forgiving me and receiving me and loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and have made a commitment to the Lord, we'd like to help you. We'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet. to help you get started in living for the Lord. Just ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet when you contact us. And again, you can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Are you receiving Pastor Greg's daily email devotions each day? Maybe you were, but you changed your email address and they haven't come in since. Well, sign up with your new email today. They're free, whether you're signing up for the first time or the umpteenth time. And then join Pastor Greg each day for an uplifting thought to keep your mind centered on Christ. Take care of the details, once again, free of charge, at harvest.org. Well, next time, some practical help for those times when the storms of life are raging. Good encouragement coming next time on A New Beginning.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washings with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
If you would like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@insearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at InSearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio and our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception.
Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are in days in a world. There is a thread on our life, yes, say anymore. We are equipped to be followed.
Hebrews chapter 11, here it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were made by what does not appear. This is also Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, that while God is invisible, he has made certain attributes of himself visible by what he made in nature. In other words, if you can look and see design, you can therefore conclude there is a designer. By the way, there's some atheists somewhere that have put videos of me on Google, on YouTube, I mean, in their attempt to mock me. And I'm on there, I think I was using this guitar, talking about you couldn't, even a simple thing like this, you could not, in good conscience, look at something like this guitar, and go, okay, this just happened. It just happened. A tree grew, just the right shape. Something came and hollowed it out. Well, how are you going to explain these strings? Well, they petrified vines. Whatever, they just happened. They just also happened to be just the right size and just the right order. You could actually make music. It's like language in a sense. You got these little machine heads up here. This is not even a living thing, and you would not conclude that that just came to existence by chance. If you concluded chance made that happen, you're an idiot. If you concluded that chance made this come to exist, you got some kind of bias. You're like, no, I don't want to believe in guitar makers. I don't want to believe that there are guitar makers. What they call them, luthiers. There are no luthiers. I'm a luthierist. No, there's guitar makers and there's human makers. Living things so much more complex, so much more intricate. Living, reproducing. There's design, there must be a designer. There has to be. If there's order in the universe in any way, there must be an orderer. If there's beauty, there has to be an artist behind it. There must be. You know what, guys? The Bible says the fool in Psalms, in Proverbs, I mean, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You know that the fool, that's idiot, fool, they're synonymous terms. Moron is just Greek for fool. Do you know that? Moron is Greek for what we in English would say fool. You know what? Sophie is wisdom in Greek. Put Sophie together with moron, you have a sophomore. I didn't make that up. I'm just telling you. That's how, you know, a wise fool. He's his second year in high school. He's a wise fool. He now knows enough to be dangerous. That was a little Greek lesson for you. But when it says in the scriptures that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God, it doesn't mean someone who is intellectually deficient. It's not like you're just a little dysfunctional in your brain, a little slow. Oh, I believe in God. A fool is not one who is intellectually deficient, biblically speaking. A fool is one who is morally deficient. It's a moral deficiency that causes someone to conclude. It is a moral deficiency. I'm going to repeat it. It's a moral deficiency that causes someone not to see the obvious. It's moral deficiency. It's what happened to Solomon. Now, every now and then, you hear about somebody who was once closely associated with God, once closely associated with the gospel, maybe even an evangelist. Like, there was one very famous evangelist, Charles Templeton, evangelist well known in Canada. He was closely associated with the Billy Graham organization. He held wide, you know, huge crusades in Canada. There were people that came to believe in the gospel through the preaching of Charles Templeton when he was in the ministry. But he's not. In fact, he's no longer with us. But before leaving this world, he wrote a book denying the existence of God. He said goodbye to God with his thesis, which he published. And you can imagine it sold well. A lot of people bought it. But according to him, he said it was just intellectual honesty that ultimately he came to the place of really looking at the claims of Scripture itself, and he just could not believe any longer that it was the truth. Well, that story of how he came to deny God was not the truth. It's a lie. The truth is, Charles Templeton came to the place where he was married to one woman but wanted another one, a different one. And God wasn't going to accept his will. God wasn't going to let him have his way. So ultimately, it was sin. It was a bias that he wanted to go in a direction morally. He wanted to go in a direction with his life that he knew holding to this truth would not allow. And so he denied the truth. It's the same thing that happens to so many Christian college kids. When you go to the Planet College, in that world where suddenly you are out from under the accountability of your mom and dad and you have the freedom to go places and do things morally, that all of a sudden you find yourself involved sexually, romantically, with someone or with a lifestyle. The whole party and scene that's going on in college, and it becomes this terrible snare, and it's the heart that experiences a change first, and then the heart makes a convert of the mind. It's not the aggressive attack from your kooky professor. You know, from the heights of academia, you will be attacked intellectually. But it isn't the attack from the professor that derails a kid. It's the relationship with the girl, or the relationship with the guy. It's the drinking, the partying. It's the very same thing that happened to Solomon. Solomon, with all of his intellect and with all the wisdom that he was given by God, famous for that. Famous for that wisdom to govern and to judge. And yet Solomon ends up turning his back on God and worshiping false gods and leaving the truth to false religion. How did that happen with Solomon? Well, it happened because he, as king, started to collect women. He started to collect women. He started getting romantically involved with all these various women. And that love of pleasure affected his ability to think. It distorted his thinking. It created a bias. He, by the way, chronicles his whole experience, his journey, in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you have the whole story of Solomon, and he kind of comes full circle at the end of it all, going, man, that was stupid. And that's a paraphrase. But he took his journey, and everything that he found, and a life lived as if there was no God. The phrase he uses is life under the sun, as if there's nothing past the sun. There's no heaven, no throne of God, and no one to answer to. And he said, man, it's just vain. It was meaningless. It was empty and vain. I say all of that to say, the fool, the one who is morally deficient, says in his heart, there's no God. But by faith, we understand. Everything that we see, the worlds, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's an invisible force behind it all. That before everything that came to exist, you got the opening words of the Old Testament, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The time, space, matter continuum is all spoken of right there in the opening lines of the Bible. In the beginning. No baseball fans, it was not the big inning, it is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So three things come to exist right there in the opening lines of the Bible. Time, in the beginning. Space, the heavens, and matter, the earth. The time, space, matter continuum that we exist in, our universe, began. And what was before all of that? God. It is through faith we understand this. And lastly, let's look at verse 4, and this is indeed as far as we get. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Well, let's remember that there's people among us this morning that don't know the whole story of how we got to be here, as the Scripture gives it to us. Let me just tell you this much, in case you're new to the Bible and biblical things. God made the first man, in his image, in his likeness. He made the first man, called him Adam. We say Adam in English, Hebrew, it is Ish. He made Adam, Ish, that means man. But he made from Adam, he took that one guy, divided him into two people, and made another whole person, creating gender, the division between them. And she, in Hebrew, Isha, woman. God made those two people, they were the first. All the rest of us are reproductions of them. We all, every one of us, are related to them. Now, if you're new to the Bible, probably right now you're thinking, wait a minute, doesn't that mean if we're all the same, if those are the two people that God made, and all the rest of us are reproductions, somebody married your sister. And you're right. Absolutely right. Something is wrong, according to God, because it's bad. It's not bad because it's wrong. It's wrong because it's bad. In other words, there was a time when that was not wrong, when that was not prohibited, and it was not destructive. And the purity of the human race in its earliest stage in one family, there was no harmful result. As a matter of fact, you could end up meeting a woman who was your sister, and you did not know her. You'd never met her before. And you could be 200-300 years older than her. So deal with that reality. That's what the Bible reveals. Somebody married their sister. Bunch of them married sisters and brothers. The human race descended from one single couple. All of us. Now, just for the record, modern science has actually caught up with this reality. Do you know that? The study of DNA, particularly the study of mitochondrial DNA, revealed all the way back in the 90s, as a matter of fact, early 90s, inspired a cover of Time magazine, which was an artist's conception, another foolish statement from man's science. Once concluding, as they did, and to their surprise, I might add, that all of humanity was related. They were shocked to find that we were related, and shocked to find that we were all that closely related. As a matter of fact, there's evidence in the mitochondrial DNA for the whole family tree of humanity that has its source in one couple. And according to science, cover of Time magazine, announcing this big discovery that happened, I think it was 1991, that the entire human race descended from one mother. One mother. According to the scripture. As a matter of fact, Adam called her Eve, for she is the mother of all living. Modern science now says the entire human race descended from one mother. They can prove it. They know this now. Nevertheless, the artist's conception of what she looked like on the cover of Time magazine, she was a hunched over ape-like looking thing with breasts. Because the idiot says, there's no God. Still holding on to the false religion of evolution, they communicated this with a picture. And artists take massive liberties in the whole illustrating of evolution. But the fact is, science has had to admit, we're all related, just like the Bible says. Well, this first couple, they had many children through their long lives. But we're told about two of them, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Now let me just explain this to you before you leave this morning. Our first parents joined a rebellion against God in Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, they had only two commands given to them by God. Two commands, just two. Number one was, be fruitful and multiply. God made them in his genius to come together sexually, to come together emotionally and spiritually, and to truly become one. God made one into two so that two could become one. And that life would come out of that. So God commanded them to. A command that I believe Adam embraced with joy. I don't think he was like, oh, God, things I got to do for you. Yes, sir, God, yes, your will is my command. I believe Adam was like, I can do this. I can do the will of God. In fact, the will of God's awesome. Thank you, by the way. The other command was a prohibitive command. It was, thou shalt not. God said, there's this one tree in the midst of the garden. That's where it is, in the midst of the garden. And that one tree, do not eat of it. God said, for the day that you do, you will surely die. Death would be the consequence. Death is separation. You will be separated. Separation is what death means. You know, spiritual death is to be separated from God spiritually. Physical death is to be separated, your spirit from your body. Death is, in fact, what happened. Adam and Eve joined the rebellion against God, partook of that forbidden fruit, and instantly, almost like instinctively, they knew that the parts of their body given to obey the other command, the parts of their body given to make life happen, were now the center of their shame. And they are aware that they're naked, and now naked's not good. And they use vegetation to try to cover themselves. God comes on the scene. He calls to them. He invites them. He invites them to confess. He tells them what the consequence will be. But he also promises a Savior. He also promises that there will be a Savior. A hero. That will undo what has happened there in Eden. And before driving them out, before banishing them from Eden, God covered them. And what did God cover them with? Animal skins. Understand what that means. That God looked at their vegetation and said, that's not enough. And an innocent creature was killed by God. An animal that had never done their wrong, that had not joined in the rebellion, was killed, its blood poured out, and its skin given as a covering. That's where sacrifice begins. That's where the whole concept of the sacrifice, the whole concept that an innocent victim would be sacrificed, would be killed in order to cover the guilty. That sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve in Eden was about Christ, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. It was all the way back to Eden. Now, a generation later, Cain and Abel, two brothers. Abel is a guy who says, I want to be connected with God, even though we are estranged as a race, as a human race. I want to worship God. And so he approaches God on God's terms, understanding the sacrifice that happened in Eden that covered his parents. Abel becomes a shepherd, a keeper of sheep. And he comes to God with a blood sacrifice. He comes with a lamb. He offers it to God on the fire of an altar, the smoke rising, and God accepted his offering. Exactly how we know, I don't know what that looked like in reality, but God accepted it. He's got a brother named Cain, and Cain, people tend to think of Cain and Abel, and Cain, he's just this murdering psycho-looking dude. No, actually, Cain was a typical church guy in reality. He's like, I want to be connected with God, but on my terms. I'll set the terms. God has apparently revealed that he would only be approached through sacrifice. Something must die. But Cain says, know what? Nope. You're going to have to just accept my best. And there's a lot of people that think like that. No, I'm just going to do the best I can, and God's just going to have to accept that. I'll offer my best. So Cain is the ultimate gardener. He is a gardener like his father Adam was in Eden. He grows food. He brings his best, the best of his labor, his produce. And he brings that to God as an offering, and God does not accept it. God won't accept Cain's terms. God is not going to accept anybody's terms. God is the one who sets the terms. Cain, recognizing that God would not accept his terms, was wroth. His countenance fell. It's recorded in the scripture in Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to paraphrase, but God basically looks at Cain and says, what's your problem, Cain? Look at you all puckered up like that. Come on, you've talked to your kids like that, haven't you? You violated their will, and they want to make a statement without a word in their face. God says, Cain, what's your problem? Why is your countenance fallen? What are you looking like that for? Come on, do what is right, and you know you'll be accepted as well. But sin, Cain, sin, it's crouching at the door. You have to overcome it. You hear the pleading of God in that to Cain? Cain goes away unchanged, resenting the fact that it has to be on God's terms. And he wants to take it out on someone, and it's ultimately his brother Abel, who accepts God's terms that Cain is angry with, and Cain murdered his brother. He's the first murderer recorded of all of human history. The guy that he killed is the first martyr of the Christian faith in all of human history. That is according to Christ. Christ himself said so in Matthew chapter 12 in an indictment against the religious leaders. He said, you're guilty. You're guilty of the blood of all of those who believed, all of the true martyrs. In fact, he said, the blood of all of the martyrs from A to Z is going to be required of this generation, beginning from Abel and all the way up to this guy, Zechariah. And they knew about it, this guy, Zechariah, who was martyred right there in the temple. He said, always from A to Z is going to be required of this generation that would murder him. Abel believed. That's what the scriptures tell us, what we've just read. By faith, Abel, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. It was by faith. What does that mean? It means he believed God. He believed the terms that God had set. He accepted those terms. It was by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. Cain is still talking. I mean, Abel is still talking. His sacrifice still speaks. Now, I suppose Cain is too. He's still saying, no, do it your own way. And experienced the judgment of God. But Abel speaks, and his sacrifice speaks. By the way, you know the story there in Genesis chapter 4. God comes on the scene and does exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. And he invites confession, and he pleads, and goes, Cain, where's your brother? Cain, there's a chance, huh, to confess. Cain's attitude is, what am I, my brother's keeper? Supposed to look at, what am I, his babysitter? What an attitude. God doesn't even dignify that with an answer. He just says, Cain, your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Cain experienced the judgment of God. Abel is the first martyr, standing for the truth, standing for what he believed. And ultimately, he was killed for it. But it was by faith he was accepted. What about all of you here today? Let me end with this one thing. Are you Cain or are you Abel? Do you have anything in agreement with Cain? Do you think you can set the terms? A lot of people do today. A lot of people go, you know what? I worship God, okay, in my own way. Now, I realize when you say that, you might be like, I'm not, you know, your style of music, or, you know, I don't formally do whatever. And I realize there's an element of that, you know, in my own way that's understandable. I get that. But are you saying you worship God in your own way like Cain? Who goes, no, well, you know what? It's going to be my way. No, God, you're going to have to accept my terms. Are you trying to impose your will and the way you think it ought to be? There's an old saying, guys. Old saying. It says, people prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. People prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. People make their wish their belief system. Have you done that? That's what Cain did. Cain said, I will do my best, and that's going to have to be good enough because it's all I can do. Our best is not good enough. None of us. That's why we need a Savior. That's why somebody had to die in our place. That's why the sacrifice was relevant. And that sacrifice, that bloodshed of that lamb that was offered by Abel, was a statement about Christ who would come so far in the future. 4,000 years later, have you put your trust in Christ? Or are you like Cain, trusting in your own good works? You know, before you leave today, I want to give you an opportunity to change that, to repent, to see the fallacy of that, and just throw yourself at the mercy of God and believe in what Jesus Christ did.
Godsword is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. A If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555. Or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Word daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Word at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own story and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me
like to get a cell phone plan with unlimited voice, data, and text for only $49 per month, please email Glenn Kennedy at glenn@insearch.com. That's G-L-E-N-N at N as in Nancy, S-E-A-R-C-H.com, or contact him through msearch.com. You can also click the cell phone banner at insearch.com for more details on this special offer. If you are interested, you can also earn money through the company by simply referring others so they can save money too. This cell phone company is rewarding their users for referrals instead of spending their money on expensive television ads. You'll be saving money each month and supporting InSearch Radio in our efforts reaching others with our inspirational programming. Thank you for your support.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.